Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Third hour is on. We'll move on to some other disturbing things that we're learning. This is from the New York Times. Homeland Security demands social media sites reveal names behind anti-ICE posts. The Department of Homeland Security is expanding its efforts to identify Americans who oppose immigration and customs enforcement by sending tech companies legal requests for the names, email addresses, telephone numbers, and other identifying data behind social media accounts that track or criticize the agency. In recent months, Reddit, Google, Discord, and Meta, which owns Facebook and Instagram, have received hundreds of administrative subpoenas from the DHS, according to four government officials and tech employees privy to the request. They spoke on the condition of anonymity because they are not authorized to speak publicly. Google, Meta, and Reddit complied with some of the requests, the government officials said, in the subpoenas. The department asked the companies for identifying details of accounts that do not have a real person's name attached and have criticized ICE or pointed to the locations of ICE agents. The New York Times saw two subpoenas that were sent to Meta over the last 6 months. Tech companies, which can choose whether or not to provide the information, have said they review government requests before complying. Some of the companies notified the people whom the government had requested data on and gave them 10 to 14 days to fight the subpoena in court. The government is taking more liberties than they used to, said Steve Loney. What? That's a lie. A senior supervising attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union in Pennsylvania. Well, that's just because the tech companies aren't proactively helping the Trump administration. This is not new. The only thing that's new about this is that the big tech companies are actually pretending to, or in some cases, you know, fighting back against the demands. Remember, under Joe Biden, they weren't just giving over information. They were happy to censor whoever Joe Biden said to censor, and they didn't have to give a reason or anything. They would just go, hey, this person's inconvenient. Take him down. And big tech would go, okay, will do. So to act like this is something new and troubling is not entirely accurate, but I don't think it's really what's going on here at all for a couple of reasons. One, I don't think you need to subpoena the big tech companies to get most of these people. We've seen videos, we've showed videos, we've seen accounts. I mean, people are making videos with their own faces in their uniform at work going, I'm here in Athens, Georgia, and I work at the Waffle House, and I say kill ICE agents. And it's like, oh, what are you going to, you got to get his IP address, do you? You got to find out what he's talking about on Reddit? No. So this is what I don't understand. At this moment, to this day, there are still thousands and thousands of activists on the street hunting down ICE and interacting with them. You aren't arresting them, but you're telling me you need to go to Google and Meta and Reddit to get their IP addresses to go after them that way? Why? Why? If you can't do the on-the-ground, real-life interference, if you can't arrest those people, if you can't arrest the people who are, like, kicking out the brake lights of SUVs with a gun in their backpack fighting ICE agents, but you're going to get the IP address. I think this is about something else. I don't think this is about actually trying to go after the anti-ICE people. If they were actually going after the anti-ICE people, they would have gone after them by now. This is not the first step that you would take if that was what you were doing. I'm also pretty concerned that there were no requests to X. Why were there no requests to X? Why were there no requests to Blue Sky? Blue Sky is where most of this activity is going on. Signal chats are where most of this activity is going on. Why didn't they subpoena Signal or X or Blue Sky, I wonder? I don't trust this. I don't like this. I don't think it has anything to do with fighting back against ICE. If they're actually concerned about putting a damper on the anti-ICE activity, this would be like the 100th step, not the first. They'd be going after the people on the ground doing it, first of all, and then the people whose names and faces are known to everybody. And the guy who stormed into the church, the lead guy, the psychopath, he's still out leading marches. He's got domestic terrorist charges.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com.
From the front lines of the information war, this is The War Room with Harrison Smith. Join the battle now on band.video and X worldwide.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, folks. This is War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We're going to take your phone calls this hour. I'll go ahead and give out the number. Call right now. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. You can call in about whatever you want. I was going to maybe say certain topics, but just give us a call. Anything that you want to talk about, anything we've discussed today, anything that we're missing, 1-877-789-2539. Give us a call. We'll go to those just as soon as they roll in. We're talking about something I find very suspicious, very unnecessary and therefore questionable. Why is the government requesting these big tech companies hand over information about people that are anti-ICE? If it was to stop the assaults on ICE, there's like a million other things they could do. This wouldn't be the first move. I mean, as we speak, there are still middle schools sending students out to fight ICE agents. And like, the kids are getting arrested. Like, they aren't going after those people. Those teachers aren't being thrown in jail. They're not being investigated. They're literally radicalizing children to go fight ICE. Go after them. Go after the dude that stormed into the church and told little kids their parents deserve to die and got arrested for domestic terrorism under the FACE Act, but then got let out and is continuing to lead charges against ICE. Why don't you arrest the people that are building roadblocks on streets in Minnesota? Like, you're not doing any of these things. You're not arresting any of those people. But what, you're going to go arrest people for talking about it online? I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I don't believe you even need a subpoena to go after most of these people in the first place. It's almost like, if anything, it's just like convincing the anti-ICE people that they really are like rebels and really are like under threat of the system. They're looking for us. They're trying to get, and it's like, you have no idea. You have no idea what it's be like, what it is like to actually be an enemy of the system. You're the most coddled, astroturfed puppets the world has ever seen. If you were actually against the power structure, you'd never be able to post your comment. And as soon as you did, you'd automatically have it deleted, and then your account would be deleted. I know, because it happened to us over and over and over again. And sometimes it was the Biden administration sending takedown orders to big tech that they were happy to comply with and never made a stink about, never published to the media, never fought back and said, hey, you've got 2 weeks to fight this subpoena before we hand it over. That never happened. They had portals where the government could just like sign in and just, you know, click the check mark next to names, and the big tech company would just take them down. And they would never tell you that that was why. And it wasn't until later, when people sued or when Trump got elected and the documents came out, and showed that, oh yeah, they really were just absolutely hand in glove complying with the government's demands to take down speech they didn't agree with, didn't like, even if it was true. You have no idea what it's like to actually be against the government. And I don't even think this is actually a threat against you. And again, just the It infuriates me. I have to say it absolutely infuriates me when you have people like the American Civil Liberties Union being like, well, this is too far. I can't believe it. The government requesting information from big tech. We can't stand for this. If that was what they believed, they would have stood with us 10 years ago when it first started. We first started being subjected to it. They don't actually give a damn. They just want a bunch of radical communists to be able to target ICE with impunity. The department said it had broad administrative subpoena authority, but did not address questions about its request in court. Its lawyers have argued that they're seeking information to help keep ICE agents in the field safe, which of course they are. I mean, ICE agents are actually under pretty continual attack. So it's, but what we've been saying the whole time is like, yeah, you're literally setting up to give the green light. If our government actually wants to be tyrannical, you're giving them every excuse to do so because you're literally trying to kill ICE agents. You absolute morons. The Trump administration has aggressively tried tamping down on criticisms of ICE. Not really. And partly by identifying Americans who have demonstrated against the agency, ICE agents told protesters in Minneapolis and Chicago that they are being recorded and identified with facial recognition technology. But again, they haven't. Like, what are they talking about? They wanted to create a database of people who were arrested for interference, impeding an assault. So you're telling me that you've got somebody impeding you right there. You're a cop. You don't arrest them. You're going to put them in a database where you're going to arrest them later. What? You see how this doesn't make any sense? What are they actually doing? Are they just preparing this for when it will just be used on Americans? Because that seems to be what's happening here, I hate to say. Mr. Loney of the ACLU said avoiding a judge's ruling was important for the department to keep issuing the subpoenas without a legal order to stop. The pressure is on the end user, the private individual, to go to court. The Department of Homeland Security also sought more information on the Facebook and Instagram accounts dedicated to tracking ICE activity in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, outside Philadelphia. The accounts, called Montco Community Watch, began posting in Spanish and English about ICE sightings in June and, over the next 6 months, solicited tips from their roughly 10,000 followers to alert people to the locations of agents on specific streets or in front of local landmarks. But you're telling me that this has been going on for a year and they haven't been able to do anything to stop these people? It's just a lie. I mean, I wish it wasn't. I wish we really did use some of the incredible power of the just enormous surveillance technological array that we have constantly surveilling everybody all the time. It'd be nice to use some of that to actually go after criminals, both the illegal immigrants that aren't supposed to be here and the dumbass communists that are attacking ICE agents and protesting against the basic enforcement of a fundamental, inextricable law. ICE is using new facial recognition app to identify people. For what? Are they sending them flowers? They're using a facial recognition app to identify people. For what reason and to what end, I wonder? None of them are getting arrested. They're just making a database. What is the point? You're photographing these people. You're feeding their information into a facial recognition database. You're getting their name. You're getting their address. And then you're standing by while they physically attack cops or break the windows out of cop cars or throw bricks at cars as they're driving by. But at least you have their data saved on a database somewhere. Well, what good does that do for anybody? What are you doing? What are you really doing? Because you don't need two scans of body's facial recognition when they're right there. Yeah, shots from Chad Loader on Blue Sky. Yeah, why was Blue Sky not one of these companies named, I wonder? Why was an X one of these companies named? Doesn't mean that they didn't get subpoenaed. It just means the New York Times didn't write about it. It could also mean that they maybe are sticking with the strategy that they had under the old administration, where they don't require subpoenas. They're happy and eager and willing to do the bidding of the government. I don't know. Could be either one. But there's another thing that's very suspicious about this, and it's the fact, I don't know, this is just one of those things. They're supposedly building warehouses to house all of the illegal immigrants. I need the actual story here. Because it doesn't, again, it doesn't really make any sense what they're saying they're doing. It doesn't actually comply with basic logic or mathematics or anything of the sort. I'm in trouble finding the story. Guys, see if you can find it. It's like the U.S. government is about to spend $30.8 billion building housing for illegal immigrants. And people did the math, and they broke it down, and they're like, the government's spending tens of billions of dollars to build facilities with 90,000 beds. 90,000 beds sounds like a lot. 30 billion, a hell of a lot more. So people broke it down and they discovered that we're essentially going to be spending $400,000 a bed to build housing for the illegal immigrants that we're deporting. A couple questions about that. One, why would it cost more than my house costs to build a bed to temporarily house illegal immigrants? Reuters, ICE to spend $38.3 billion on detention centers across U.S., document shows. 90,000 beds they're planning. $400,000 a bed. That's a scam. That is an outright scam. There's absolutely no way it would cost that much if it wasn't a scam. $400,000 is literally almost twice as much as I bought my house for 5 years ago. So you're telling me, like, here's an idea. How about instead of temporarily housing 90,000 illegal immigrants, what if we gave 90,000 young families a free home? That might be the choice I would make if it was up to me. And then in terms of the illegal immigrants, you can save money by making them work for it. It won't cost us anything. We'll actually make money if you put them in a chain gang and have them break rocks for 5 cents an hour. We'd come out on top. I'd also repurpose the hundreds of thousands of beds that we have already built from 2020 to 2024 to house the migrants on their way in. I don't understand. We built entire cities in places like Chicago and New York and Boston. There are entire cities built, tent cities, where beds just stretch as far as the eye can see. We weren't even supposed to know about them, except that we had, you know, independent journalists jump the fence and go film them. For some reason, we can't use those. We can't use those. So we built the facilities to house millions of immigrants on their way in. We got to build it all again if we want to get them out. We can't use those same facilities, that same money, those same buildings, whose entire purpose is to house migrants. It can't go the other way. They can't be sent out. They can only be okay. Great. So instead, we're going to spend $400,000 a migrant to oust them. At that point, just let them stay. That's too much. $38 billion to deport less people than Obama? That doesn't make any sense either. How did Obama deport more people and not spend $40 billion on new construction? This is a scam, folks. Maybe it's just strictly a money thing, so the same people that caused the problem can just make bank off of it to the tune of tens of billions of dollars of our taxpayer money. Or maybe these are FEMA camps. Maybe they're going to house Americans. Maybe it has nothing to do with immigration, and they never intend to have it filled with immigrants. I can't help but think that that's the more likely situation, because the deportations are not high enough to justify needing all these beds. We already have just massive amounts of facilities and infrastructure to handle deportations that we're not using. It should not cost and would never cost $400,000 per bed to build these things. And they're not even going to be finished building them by the time Trump's out of office, so they're not even going to be used under him. So is this being built for us? Are these the camps that we're going to be herded into? You got to wonder. $400,000. I just ask you, if you were given the option, if there are two buttons in front of you, and one said spend $40 billion deporting 1% of just the people that came over in the 4 years under Biden, or if you would rather buy a brand new house free of charge for 90,000 young families, I think I'd go with that one. Just remember, it comes to helping the American people, comes to benefiting us in any way, never enough money, there's never enough wiggle room, there's always something in the way, there's always some judge to tell you you just can't do it. When it comes to what they want to do, it's infinite money, infinite. No problem at all. New detention center model, $38.3 billion, and will have a total capacity of 92,600 beds. Through the division, it comes out to over $400,000 per bed. And at the end of it, we'll still have more migrants than we did when Trump first got into office. Sucks. Line number four, I see Simon from Florida has called in. A long time no talk, Simon, although I do have you to credit for the NATO piece that I read earlier about how they're going back to NATO 1.0, I guess. Thanks for calling in, Simon. You're on the air.
Greetings, Harrison. It's a pleasure to speak with you. It's been over a year.
Wow.
And I would like to reflect, if I may, upon the Munich Security Conference. I do think that you and I are both due a slight victory lap for pointing out the emergence of the new world order several years before it was publicly confirmed by the great and the ungodly at the World Economic Forum and the Munich Security Conference this year. But it is well and truly now official. And rather than reverting to NATO 1.0, if the man with the brains in the corner of the room representing the United States in several of the panel meetings, the Under Secretary of War, Elbridge Colby, is to be listened to, and I would suggest only two people do actually hear what he has to say and read his recent speeches.
And I did, for our listeners, sorry to interrupt, Simon, but for our listeners, that was the exact speech I was reading earlier today. So I read about the first two pages of it on air. Not sure if you saw that, Simon, but that's who Simon is referring to, that same person I was reading.
And he does have an X account where people can follow some of his missives. And in arrears, the Department of War tend to put out a transcript of his pronouncements as well. But he has officially said that we're going to NATO 3.0, where the Europeans are essentially paying for themselves. The question is, how do we arrive at that outcome? And it's not simply them increasing their core defense contributions as a percentage of GDP from the historical rate of 2.0 to 5.0, which is 3.5 of core defense spending plus 1.5 on intelligence and dual use infrastructure. But as the German defense minister has said, in order for them to even catch up, they in reality would need to be spending over 10% of GDP. And by the way, the goal of 5% is actually by 2035, so a long, long time after Trump has left office, assuming that he doesn't run for a third or a fourth term, which I'm sure he'd like to do, given the opportunity, which he may try and create himself. But to your point of the new housing for the undocumented to be deported from, it's actually a whole string of disused warehouses. The main expense is not so much building the accommodation, it's actually fortifying it such that it's a secure compound so people can't just walk away, kind of like the facility that Ghislaine Maxwell has been transferred into in your home state of Texas by the Trump administration. So it is intended to be slightly more secure than where she's currently holidaying, awaiting the release of the other 3 million or so Epstein files. But one of the most disturbing things of the Munich Security Conference was old Nosferatu lookalike Ursula von der Leyen, who announced that we were going to require the end of qualified majority voting, or rather not the end of it, but the introduction of it and the end of unanimity on defense matters, such that the large core nations of the European Union, such as France, Germany, Italy, and Spain, would be able to force all of the small countries to follow their bidding. It's worth noting that Secretary of State Marco Rubio went straight over to Slovakia and then Hungary, where he met with Viktor Orban, who's currently running behind in the polls in a very, very heavily contested Hungarian general election due to occur in just 2 months' time. There's a very interesting joint press conference between those two men in Budapest, which is also available on the Secretary of State X feed. But anyway, it's been a pleasure to speak to you once again. Thank you for continuing to follow my X feed on Simon from Florey 2. I would invite you, though, of course, you're free to manage your social media as you see fit, but you haven't actually opened a direct message since November of 2024.
Well, so you need to check that again, because I checked the direct messages today, because I know you had tagged me in the speech from Elbridge or whatever that guy's name is, so I was looking for that. So I actually went into our DMs today to see if you'd send it to me, but I found it elsewhere. Everybody should follow Simon from Florida. I'm very happy to hear from you again. We only have 2 minutes left in this segment. Let me just ask you this question. What do you make of the talk of, like, the Board of Peace taking over the UN? What do you think the UN transformation and the NATO transformation are? These, you know, what do these represent? And what do you think about the talk of, like, the UN's over, we need a new, combination of what'll be the League of Democracies? There's all this sort of talk. What do you make of all that chatter?
Well, people are very suspicious about the Board of Peace because Trump has essentially appointed himself as president for life. It's not being done on the format that was approved by the United Nations Security Council resolution. Trump's also going to appoint his successor. The charter doesn't actually have the name Gaza in it anywhere throughout. Trump can veto any decision of the board, and he can dismiss any member of the board who annoys him, and that dismissal can only be overturned with a two-thirds vote of the remaining members of the board. And even Marco Rubio at the Munich Security Conference said that it had been set up with flexibility in mind, so it could be used for other purposes. Mm-hmm. So it is a very, very much open-ended Trump for life. And assuming he doesn't pass away in his sleep, then Trump 2 or Trump 3 in perpetuity. So there are good reasons to be slightly suspicious about that. It's interesting to note that the UAE are very much involved, as with the I2U2 and IMEC.
All right, we got to go to break. I'm sorry, I'm running up against a hard break. Very good to hear from you again, Simon. Follow Simon at Simon from Florey 2 on X.
Ladies and gentlemen, everything we've talked about to a T is being vindicated right now. So we can obsess over the Epstein files, or is Trump covering up, or isn't he, or what's Todd Blanche doing, any of that.
Men that abuse these girls, and what does that mean?
But at the end of the day, it's 99% Democrats in there. It's the European elite. They're the ones that basically wrote the book on this crap. It's all coming out. And we, the people, the populist Christians of the world, have been vindicated in spades. And that's why we've been attacked so much. So remember, regardless of what happens with different political leaders, different populists, whether it's Orban or whether it's Le Pen in France or whether it's Donald Trump here, regardless, We, the people of the West, of America, Christendom, will continue to promote freedom and liberty and justice in the American way and expose evil. And at the tip of the spear in that fight is InfoWars. But regardless of what happens to InfoWars, TheAlexJonesStore.com is owned by Bigley, and they have set up the Alex Jones Network as our backup that is absolutely critical. And they have launched the biggest sale of the year that runs until just next Monday. So I'm saying this live on air on Tuesday, February 10th. And I'll air this later again as an ad, so you'll be seeing it later. That means you've only got 6 days to take advantage of this massive sale. Listen to this. We've got multiple bundles on the side of our best-selling products. Limited time till next Monday at midnight. And your support keeps us on the air. This is an amazing value. Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle. Repair the gut, power the brain, the heart, everything. Bundle price, $99. Normal value, $209. Savings over 50% off. Includes bovine colostrum, the top private label. So incredible for your body, your skin, your hair, everything. Methylene Blue Tincture, we've got the best. Total game changer. You've seen the guests take it live on air. Even Methylene Blue fans say we've got the best. Methylene Red is our proprietary system that doesn't have a bunch of methylene blue in it. It's got all these other supercharged nutrients that supercharge methylene blue, but also do a great job for your stamina, libido, energy outside of that. So if you love methylene blue, the methylene red, it's back in stock. All three of those together in a bundle at over 50% off. Then we have the Modern World Survival Stack. Rebuild, reload, defend. The bundle, $89. Normally $184. Over 50% off. Built to support the body, the toxic nutrient depleted modern world. Energy, stamina, focus, everything. Shilajit Complex, the best Shilajit gummies, capsules. You choose. CMOS capsules, incredible. Very strong concentrated Irish CMOS. Natural iodine, 93 trace vitamins and minerals, incredible supercharger. You want this right now. Incredible for your thyroid, immune health, metabolic balance, your heart. And then Atomic Defense is the horse pill of horse pills of all the known concentrated natural detox, super nutrients to detox of heavy metals, environmental toxins, and supercharge your body and gut health. Get it all right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com and be the reason we will always be on the air one way or another. But you love sales. This one is over. I think it comes at like 57% off or something. This is over 50% off. It's running till next Monday. So I'm cutting this live on air on Tuesday, February 10th. So what is Monday? Okay. You got like 6 days to take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I want to thank all you that have gotten the products and all you that have been VIPs. You get huge discounts if you do that and $40 spent in the store instantly every month. But for everybody else on the fence, you're missing out. You think our info is powerful? Well, this is even more powerful. Get it now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. Final segment of the War Room for this Monday broadcast. I want to remind you to go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. Right now, you're getting 52% off site-wide, 52% off all the great supplements, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit gummies, the badass knives that we have, the really giant trench knives, the cool pocket knives, all of the awesome sweatshirts and hats and t-shirts and all the great apparel. All of it is 52% off until tomorrow. You have until tomorrow to not only get this massive, really absurd discount, 52%, on every product on the store, but also you get 2x the entries to win one of the two awesome automobiles we have, the Ford Mustang Shelby GT500 or the Ford F-250 diesel. You can win one or both of those. You get 100x entries for every dollar you spend, plus $20,000 in cash available to win. But you got to go to TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison. It's the only way to win it. Somebody's got to win it. Might as well be you. Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Now, I'm going to go out to your phone calls again, but I just saw a video that I feel the need to play. Now, I don't have too much confirmed about this, but this ties into something else I've been meaning to cover, and that is the new formation of a political party in the UK called the Restore Britain Party, being run by a man named Rupert Lowe. And go to clip number two here. So Rupert Lowe, and the parliamentary system is very strange. It's very bizarre. You have some parties that exist forever. You have like the, I don't know, the Tories. And it's like, you read books from the 1800s and there's a Tory party there. I assume it's the same one, right? But then you have like new parties that crop up. And sometimes a new party will crop up and like dominate an election and then just won't exist anymore after that. I don't really get it, honestly. But I feel like there's got to be a happy medium between our system and the parliamentary system, because the parliamentary system seems bonkers. It's just like Nigel Farage creates the Brexit party. It like dominates headlines for a long time. Now it just like doesn't exist. Like, what the hell happened there? What was that? So there's like this, but I like the idea that it's like a new group of people want to do something. They create a party and here you go, a new party. There's got to be some happy medium between this like ever shifting wild combination of all sorts of parties that don't really mean anything and are constantly changing versus like the rigid Republican Democrat. Everything is bifurcated. Everything is in one of these two parties and they will never change and there will never be a third. It's like, can we not have it? Anyway, it's all very weird and confusing to me, but this looks very promising. This looks like a party unlike ones that have come before, because they're actually taking on the existential crisis affecting Britain in a real way. I mean, Nigel Farage, as good of a politician as he was, and getting Brexit over was really a work of a, you know, miracle worker, but he would never even talk about like deportations or remigration or anything like that. He was like afraid to say that English is an ethnicity that deserves to be protected. And so he sort of is not fit for the modern conflict. He was maybe the perfect guy for Brexit, but now that there's a racial component to it and you got to be willing to step outside of your comfort zone, he's not the man. It seems like Rupert Lowe is. Let's go to clip number two. This is Rupert Lowe with his message to people in the UK, simply saying you don't have to take this. Let's watch. Clip two, guys. Robert Lowe.
My message to people listening is don't take it anymore. You've got to stand up, and you've got to, if you see something that's wrong, challenge. People have let this happen. And I think in a way, I plead with the British people every day. I say to them, don't take this lying down. If you get some petty-minded bureaucrat bossing you around, stand up to them. They're your servant, they're not your master. The state is there to serve the people. It is not there to tell them how to live their lives.
And you know what? It would be different if it, like, actually pretended even a little bit to care about them. Yeah, very, very powerful message. Rupert Lowe is starting the new Restore Britain Party. I believe that's what it's called. Again, they change names so often. The Reform Party was a different one, I think. This is a new one. But I believe it is a member of his party and one of the, you know, young guys in Britain who speaks out on behalf of the national interest that's featured in this next video that we're going to show you. And I don't even know what to make of this video. It kind of is just sad to me. But it sort of makes you realize how we got here. And the real mental illness that's affecting a huge, huge portion of people, especially boomers. This is, we're about to see boomeritis on full display here. The boomer condition in all of its raw confusion. It's very confused. So let's go ahead and go to this video. I even thought about starting this video by just like not even telling you what it is, just like try to figure out what the hell's going on here, because what you're about to see is a reaction completely and utterly out of whack with what we're actually talking about. So this guy, and I haven't quite gotten confirmation of who this is yet, but I think I have an idea, and I think it is an activist with the Restore Britain party. But he styles himself a little bit at like Nick Fuentes. He's like an online commentator, but for England and Britain, and he wants to see his country saved. And this is the reaction from his boomer parents. Let's watch.
Radicalized.
So she's calling the cops on her son right now.
I'm not harming myself.
What's your concern with him in his room?
I'm a political commentator.
Really right wing. He's posting.
Oh my God.
He's shouting at his music.
This is so dramatic.
I can understand you. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
You don't scare me, Dad.
Do I not?
No. What is wrong with you? Why are you assaulting me?
Do I not?
Why are you assaulting me? Why are you assaulting me?
Shut the f you become.
Let me leave. Let me walk out that door. Let me walk out that door. Let me walk out that door.
What?
Let me walk out that door.
Answer my question.
Nothing. I just want to preserve this nation. Do you not understand?
You will not win this war.
Yes, I will.
No, you won't.
I'm leaving this house.
Right, I want you to leave. I don't want you to come back.
I'm leaving right now.
I want you to go right now.
I'm leaving right now.
Oh, my God, he's filming.
No, I'm leaving.
Hugh, I have nothing to hide.
You're off to jail tonight, by the way. You just assaulted me.
Hugh.
I want to leave. I want nothing to do with
you. Good Lord, off you go. Don't come back.
Go away. Go away. What is wrong with you?
Don't come back.
Yeah. Can you imagine? It's like, what? So the mom is hysterically crying on the phone to police, saying her son has been radicalized. Which, and like, they're in Brit, like, she knows that they will genuinely throw her son in prison for like 5 years. Like, but then the dad is just like raging at him, and he actually says, "You will not win this war." Like the moment where the kid goes, "I just want our country to be saved." What do you what do you not understand? Dad's like, "This is not a war that you will win." I got nothing to add. I mean, that is just pure insanity. Kicking your own child out of their house because they don't want infinity brown rapists in your country? That's the line for you. Those parents were acting more insane than if they just found out their son was a mass murderer. This is not a war you'll win. I didn't know people could be that demoralized. I didn't realize that how bad it's gotten, folks. You got to talk to your boomers. You got to sit your boomers down. You got to have a rational, calm conversation with them. Okay? We got to treat it like defusing a bomb. Clearly, they are not ready for reality. This is what happens when you yank somebody out of the cave. Right? Classic story of Plato's cave. You just pull somebody out when they're not ready. They think you're hurting them. They get blinded by the sunlight. It hurts. They're confused. It's not good. You have to coax them out slowly and gently. Remind them of things they used to love. Hey, remember all those stories you told me about going to this park when you were a kid? Have you seen pictures of it recently? Isn't this worse than it was when you were a kid? It is worse. Okay. Why do you think it got that way? Oh, economics, huh? Oh, the fascists did it? Okay, that's interesting. Good theory. Maybe I'll propose another theory. Could it possibly be because everyone, when you were growing up, was like you and lived like you and had the same roles as you, and now it's a bunch of women wearing trash bags and men with machetes muttering to themselves? Could that be why the park is worse? Maybe. Maybe. You know, it's like, have you ever had like a rabid dog? Like, you got to treat them gently, very gently. They can, I believe that they can be coaxed back, but you can see there's no talking to that guy. There's no talking to that woman. There's no getting through to them. They would kill their own son rather than admit that they prefer the country that it was when they were growing up, and that it's been made worse by unrelenting mass migration of a bunch of third world ADIQ cousin marriages, the outcome of cousin marriages coming in and raping and or stabbing and or blowing up little girls. Like, they are so scared of being opposed to that. You just saw the mental breakdown. Yet again, it's one of these things where when I first read George Orwell's 1984, I thought it went too far. I thought it was unrealistic. What a fool I was. That was beyond 1984. What we just saw there was something that you would have seen maybe in a Black Mirror episode 10 years ago. I'm sorry. Let's go out to your calls. That video hit me like something else. I'm going to find out who that dude is. Try to get him on. That's crazy, man. I need to say a good long prayer of thanks to God for giving me my parents. Jeez and Pete's. That was wild. Let's go to Ben in Tennessee. Go ahead, Ben. You're on the air about Epstein. Go ahead.
Hi, Anderson. I was just saying that this whole Epstein thing, that we can't seem to get, nobody can seem to get Trump's attention to wake him up. And I think it's because his immediate geography is surrounded by a bunch of people that don't have his nor our best interest at heart.
Yep.
So my thing is, maybe we need to get, like you said, go to Washington. It doesn't have to be Washington, but get a real Trump-style rally going and call it the Promises Made rally, and just start off with all the things he's done good, and then ended up with a really disappointed crowd because they're not getting the things that they voted for. Have some people like General Flynn or Roger Stone or even Marjorie Taylor Greene there to speak.
What
their goal is.
Okay, but here's the problem. I could see how that would work. It would have to be like a very clear message. Like, what? I'm trying to think. Like, if you could say it in like one line, how would you get this message to Trump? Because it would have to be something like, "Trump, we love you. We're your supporters, and you're effing up here." Like, it's got to be something that's, because it would be so easy for us to go, and our intention would be like, we got to get through to Trump. Trump needs to understand this. He's being fooled. We are his supporters, but he's losing us, and here's what he needs to do to get us back on track. But that could so easily, just like they're doing with the Jeffrey Epstein stuff right now, be transmuted by the people around him into, oh, they just hate you, Trump, and they're just out there making noise because they don't like you, and it's probably Hamas and AOC types out there. You don't need to pay attention to them. So, you know, how would you phrase it? What would the title of the march be? Like, it would have to be something that just, like, metaphorically beats Trump over the head with, like, we are on your side. We're not attacking you, Trump. We are trying to save you here. Like, what would be the name of the march, Ben?
A serious one and a funny one. The serious one would be Stop Being MAGA Death.
Say again?
Because that's the impression that I get, is he's just not hearing anything that has to do with MAGA at this point. And then my funny one would be Stop Arguing with People Who Are Meant to Be Swallowed. Yeah. You guys, by the way.
Well, you know, it's because it's like, okay, we could go and be like, fire Howard, like Howard Lutnick is in the files. But like, even that, it'd be like, see, Trump, they're attacking you through me. Like, I don't know. They really have a nice little setup there where anybody trying to get through to Trump and be like, you're surrounded by enemies. That's why I was saying it's literally the thing, the King Theoden situation. If you remember in Lord of the Rings, you know, when they first get into Rohan, they meet Éomer, who's the nephew of the king, and he's been exiled. He's been banished. And he says, you know, he doesn't recognize friend from foe anymore because the nephew went to the king and said, hey, you're getting bad advice. You're being tricked. You're being fooled. But Wormtongue's whispering in his ear, oh, see, he's trying to get you away from me because he wants to weaken you. And so it's the guy who's actually telling the truth, actually trying to help the king, that ends up getting banished. Like, that's the situation we're in, where anybody going to Trump has the Wormtongues in his ear going, they're trying to attack you, Trump. Don't let them, don't fall for it. And so Trump's just, you know, is likely to exile you as do anything about what you're talking about. So, but maybe a big march is necessary. It's just got to be something very concise, just like Trump is missing his opportunity to save the Republic here. Why? Let's go to Mike in California now. Mike, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, is this a good line?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'd like to connect a few dots regarding comments that that Alex has made over the past few weeks about the nature of evil. One of his favorite lines is the globalists want to cut your kid's dick off. He talked about, you know, medical groups going after, you know, cutting off or, you know, sex organs as a medical cult. And then, a few weeks ago, he said something, and he carried out, he actually really milked it. I mean, he didn't come out right away with it, but milked it into, like, another, after he said, I'll talk more about this after the next, you know, ad. And then he talked about it, and he said, well, what is prime or necessary to commit evil? And then he said, blood of an innocent. Okay? And that's circumcision right there in a nutshell. Okay? Mm. And if every man wants to find evil in America, most men can look down in their drawers and see that scar, and that is absolute evil. It's not an accident that circumcision studies where they studied pain had to be stopped for moral reasons, because they found that circumcising a child, and I can go into a lot of detail about this, it causes the child to experience the highest level of pain, threshold, torture, okay? Yeah. So kids on a daily basis in America are strapped down to what's called a circumstraint, and then a metal probe is stuck between the foreskin and the head of the penis, okay, because it's held together with what's called synchia, which is what holds your nail bone on your fingers. So it's like removing your fingernails, okay? And then it's all cut off. So we don't have, you know, for a lot of people, sex is a spiritual act, okay? But someone came in and meddled with it in America, okay, before that child could ever experience it for himself.
No, you're exactly right. Yeah. And there have been so many studies that it causes a lot of problems. It doesn't solve a lot of problems. And it's just one of those things that, like, I think for our parents and for people that before, like, and even now, people just do it. They just think you're supposed to. They think it's necessary or just traditional or whatever. But, like, there's no reason to. There is absolutely no reason to do it, except in certain circumstances. You can always get it done later. But, you know, kids can't be given painkillers. So, yeah, all of what you're describing is being done with no painkillers. They give the kid a little bit of sugar water and it's supposed to like overwhelm their brain because they're brand new babies. But yeah, they strap them down to this thing that straps their arms down, straps their legs down, and they traumatize them in ways that warps the brain for life. You're exactly right. And of course it messes with the sexual act as well. You're exactly right, Mike. And it's horrifying. So tie it together for us. You know, how you were going to draw the line between these. Mike? We might have lost Mike. Let's go to, but he's exactly right. Let's go to Angelina in South Texas, on line 10 now. Angelina, you're on the air. We got about 2 minutes left in the show. The floor is yours.
Okay. Hello, Harrison. It's good to talk with you again.
Good to hear from you.
So I'm going to make this very quick. These people that you're seeing is called stupidity. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was killed in World War II. He was a minister. He made a very good observation of how highly intelligent people become totally stupid. This is what we're seeing. And he shows the process of how these intelligent people just surrender, their own reliance, their own need to find out the truth. They just surrender it all to some other source, or like, you know, the Nazi Party, or the media, and the media dictates what they should think. They stop thinking. And so Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that's something to be looked into. And he said something like, "If against stupidity, we are helpless." But I do have some hope. One of them is I got a treasury of the world's greatest speeches, and it opens up saying that if truth were self-evident, eloquence would not be necessary. And so this is great speeches. And so for President Trump and other people that are in here, there is one quote from somebody in the Renaissance, and the quote is this: "The ass alone saw the angel. The others did not. So open your eyes." And this was a quote from Savonarola, Savonarola. So that's something that can be related to Trump. You know,
yeah.
The ass alone saw the angel. Now,
I get what you're saying with that. I'm sorry, we're coming to the end of the show here, but thank you so much for the calls. Thank you all for joining us today. Please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. You only have a little while to take advantage of 52% off site wide. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And we'll see you tomorrow, folks.
Got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
This is gonna change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant.
Absolutely.
To everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that.
Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean compared
just
to
just the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's
so this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways, I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power! receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.